You would open your copies of God's Word, please, to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. You'll see the heading, the third letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Gamel, verse 17 down to verse 24. That section we will read together, or I will read, God's Word. Beginning there in verse 17. Hear now the word of the Lord. Do good to your servant, and I will live. I will obey your word. Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. I am a stranger on earth. Do not hide your commands from me. My soul is consumed with longing for your laws at all times. You rebuke the arrogant who are cursed and who stray from your commands. Remove from me scorn and contempt, for I keep your statutes. Though rulers sit together and slander me, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Your statutes are my delight, they are my counselors. This is God's word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks for your word. Lord, we pray that you would help us to focus on your word. And Lord, that the distractions of the world and the things that press upon us every day, we could lay those aside for a few moments and give attention to your word. And Lord, we pray that neither the distractions of the world or persecution of those around us who know not God would distract us from your word. Lord, that we would hold your word before us each day as our sure guide, as our sure hope. And Lord, we come today with a prayer that we might indeed hear your voice, and your voice only. We pray these things in Christ's name, for his sake. Amen. What do you consider the primary goal of your existence? Let me say it again. What do you consider the primary goal of your existence? Some people want to live a full and exciting life. Some people want to have a comfortable retirement. Some people want to see their children, their grandchildren, all prosper and do well. But what is your primary goal? All people desire life. All people desire well-being. And God graciously provides the means by which these are obtained. But how few people comprehend the truth of this, that all these things are from God, and how few people avail themselves of the means that God has appointed to attain the sure goal of life. We owe our very lives to God's goodness and mercy. He was the one who gave us life, and it is by his grace that it continues. And all the joys and comforts of life flow from his bountiful grace, which he showers down on us abundantly. If he withdraws his provision and protection, we will die. And if he were to deal with us in accord with strict justice, we would all be consumed by his wrath. But it's because God deals with us graciously, according to his great mercy, that we live. So the psalmist's first request in this is answered affirmatively for all people. It's surely out of God's goodness that we live. We should then, in thanks to God, spend our lives in faithful service, seizing every opportunity to walk in obedience to his word. But how many people in this world consider life a blessing because it's our chance to obey God in this world. How many consider that God's word is among the greatest blessings and benefits that God bestows upon us, as it shines forth in power, lighting our way in a dark world? The psalmist is one in whom these things are foremost in his life. Notice what he says. He acknowledges that it's by God's grace that he lives, and that as he lives, he will devote himself to keeping God's word. He is fully persuaded, in answer to our opening question, that the all-encompassing object of his existence is wholehearted dedication to God, and that manifests itself in obeying God's word. Everyone wishes for God to bestow favor on them. Everyone wants God to grant them life, but how few ever consider what they're to do with that life. God has blessed you with this life, but how few consider what they're to do with that life, how they're to live. The psalmist asks for God's blessings that he may live, and living that he might show himself obedient to God's commands. Should this not be the focus of living? To be a true and faithful servant of God? Well, after having declared the purpose and intention of his life, the author prays that God will enlighten his understanding, that the eyes of his heart may be opened, that he may see wonderful things in the law of God. That should be the prayer of everyone. We should pray, God, open our eyes that we could see wonderful things in your law. Those who would see wondrous things in God's word must, like the psalmist, beg him to open their eyes and give them understanding, for we are all by nature blind to the things of God until he removes the veil from our eyes and from our heart. How much we need the grace of God to understand the profound mysteries of his word. If this is true, as it is, for God's people, how much more is it the case for those who know not God? As we read earlier, Pastor Ortiz has read you from 1 Corinthians. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually discerned. Folks, the greater part of the human race is blind, unable to discern the truth of God's word. It's little wonder that their actions and their decisions many times are so corrupt and just outright wrong. And it's not just the law, it's not just the Ten Commandments, as we read together, that are in view. Although, how wonderful would it be if our world just lived by that? If everybody in the world just followed that, how wonderful would our world be? But when the author speaks of God's law and God's word, it, I believe, encompasses all of God's word. It encompasses God's covenant of salvation, the gospel of Jesus Christ with all its provisions. Because the scripture says, for in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, which is the end of the law. So I think we can say, without stretching the word, that when he talks about the law and God's word and the precepts and commandments, encompasses all of God's revelation. But this is the real tragedy for those without the Spirit of God. They cannot understand. They regard this as foolishness. They regard as foolishness the glorious message of salvation. They regard as foolishness God's great revelation of Himself. How we need to pray to God that their eyes would be opened, that they could see, that they could understand the truth. And notice also how the psalmist regards his own condition. He says he's a stranger on earth. He's just passing through. This is not his real home. All God's people are strangers and aliens here, because heaven is our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. We're surrounded by a world that wants to spend life grasping for all they can get, engaging in sin and debauchery, looking out for number one, and having little time to consider or pursue eternal things. They're not too much concerned with that. But we, as God's people, have a journey to pursue, a road to travel. And the goal is nothing of this world. The goal is eternal. The goal is home in heaven with the Lord Himself. It's a heavenly inheritance that is saved for us. It's promised by God the Father. It's purchased by Jesus Christ the Son, and it's sealed within us by the Holy Spirit. So, given the difference in the goal and the fact that we're strangers in this world, we can probably understand the psalmist's cry. He says, "Lord, do not hide your commands from me. I'm on this difficult journey. What will happen to me? How might I lose my way if I'm deprived of the great help of your word? I need a guide. I need a companion. I need a comforter to help me. Your word is all this. It is all that I need." He says, "Do not deprive me of this great help." Do you see it that way? Do you see the word as the great help and guide for your life? Do you use the word effectively as your guard, as your guide, while you live here on earth as an outsider? Or are you busy trying to fit in, or trying to be accepted by the world, rather than being guided by God's word as you travel this road? You know, we're all tempted in this way. We make grand promises to ourselves to apply ourselves more diligently and faithfully to studying the word. But it seems these resolutions are only temporary, right? Life happens. You know, there are pressing needs. We get tired. But notice the steadfastness of the psalmist. He said, "My soul is consumed with longing, desiring of your laws." And notice one other thing. What he says, it's constant at all times, he says. We all remember to eat. If you forget, your stomach will eventually remind you that it's time to eat, right? If you go too long without reading or hearing or meditating on the word, there should be a craving, a hunger pain, so to speak, a hungering for the word. But sometimes the neglect of the word dulls those senses, and we don't have that hunger, that longing for the Word. We need to listen and pay attention to that longing within us to hear God's voice. But what about those who ignore the Word, who care nothing for what God has to say, those who, as we read, regard it as foolishness? They exalt themselves against God. They become a law unto themselves. They seek to exalt themselves over others. They're proud and arrogant. Their minds are depraved. Their minds are damaged. And they promote, they embrace all manner of evil that's in opposition to the will of God. But the Lord visits His judgment on such people. They're certainly cursed because, as we know, God resists the proud. But he judges these folks. That judgment is often delayed. But when we see God taking vengeance on the wicked, on those who despise His word, on those who trample underfoot the blood of Christ, we should take note of that. How foolish we are if we see God's temporal judgments visited on the arrogant and the wicked, and it doesn't teach us obedience in the way of wisdom. God does not threaten in vain the wicked, the arrogant. Indeed, all the reprobate are cursed. Their destruction is sure. But knowing this, we should cling more earnestly to the Word of God and pray more earnestly that we would hold fast to the truth. We must not allow ourselves to be turned from God's Word by the enmity, persecution, the ridicule of the world. We must hold on to God's truth. But, you know, I think it's the fear of man. I think it's the desire to please men. It's a desire to be accepted by them that poison true religion. It's often the case that those who pursue and seek to live by God's truth find themselves the target of slander and contempt. You know, the people of God can live their life as morally and wisely as possible, and yet they find themselves sometimes the object of scorn and contempt, slander, accusations. So the psalmist prays, "O Lord, protect me from the ungodly who mock me for living by your word." And it's not only our fellow men. Notice what he says. They're not the ones who mock and ridicule us for trying to walk according to God's precepts. We see it more and more in our day. The rulers, those who are in authority over us, seek to censure us and assault both our freedom to speak and worship as we please, our resistance to ungodly laws and rules. High-handed decisions from high-handed and godless authorities try the faith and the patience of God's people. But this has always been the case. We see here in our text, we see by the author's response, he experienced such. But in the face of such mockery of justice and abuse, he vowed to persevere in keeping God's statutes. We must do the same thing. We must persevere in what God says, irrespective of the ridicule or even persecution from those who might be in authority in some way over us. But in the face of all these attacks and distractions, notice the psalmist was comforted by the word of God. In fact, it was his delight. In difficult and trying times, there is delight in God's laws. You know that yourself. In difficult times, in times of sadness, in times of trial, there is great comfort and delight in God's word. In the challenges of ordering our lives day by day, there is comfort and delight that the word of God is our sure guide and our sure defense. God's precepts and his statutes and his laws and his promises are our counselors to lead us, to guide us, and direct us in all things. What we need to know to order our life is contained right here in God's word. Therefore, we should be consumed with longing to hear more, to read more, to know more of God's revelation to his people. We should not rely on our own judgment, much less our feelings and emotions, but rather be guided by the whole counsel of God. And guided by the word of God and delighting in his commands, walking in obedience to his law, we will be able to stand strong in the faith, unyielding in the face of attacks and distractions of the world, and we will live, as the psalmist asked, we will live to please our great God and King. Now let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is indeed a blessing to us, a sure guide. And Lord, we pray for the dedication, for the perseverance in the fact and in the face of all that life throws at us every day. Lord, to remember your word, to take time to hear your voice, hear your revelation of yourself to us in your word. Lord, what a treasure it is that we have, how you have blessed your people. As the confession says, everything we didn't know about you and the duty you require of us as your people is right here in the word. Lord, help us to be more attentive to your word. Help us to be more faithful to fill our lives each day. Lord, to fill the reservoir of our strength, our wisdom, and our discernment with your word, with your promises, with your commands. And Lord, we just pray that we would be faithful as your church, as your people. Help us to be faithful to hold out the truth of your word to a world that's dying, Lord, to a world that's lost, a world that's in darkness. Help us as your people to shine forth the bright light of your truth into that dark, dark place, Lord. And we pray that as we do this, that you would use it for your divine purposes, Lord. We know your promise. It will not return void. It will accomplish that for which you sent it forth. So help us to be faithful in holding out the truth as we should. May it ever be for your glory and your honor. We pray all these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.